good morning, good morning, everybody. I'm going to be speaking with Corey Gumbs this morning. I just want to invite him to the conversation here. Hey, I see them online. I hope everybody is doing well. Hey,
good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being willing to do the interview.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being a member of the BPA.
Yes, I am a member of the BPA, but you shouldn't say that because they're going to think then, like, you know.
Oh, no, I'm all about promoting the community and the members of the community. So it's okay.
Well, let me introduce everybody to us. For people who don't know me, I'm Joy Keys. I host the podcast called Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm on Instagram, as you see, Saturdays with Joy Keys. I'm on Twitter, at Joy Keys. I'm also on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Also, check us out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Audible, Google, Blog Talk Radio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you miss a show, you come in the middle, all the shows are archived. Just look up my name, the show, or the guest in my name, and you'll be able to find them. Now, this special man, who's very busy, I mean, I don't know, like, does he sleep with, like, the computer cord connected to his head or something? So his family is probably like, you go outside on the porch, we'll build you a little tiny home, and you can get your shit out there because, like, this is crazy. But anyway, Corey Gumbs, the owner of Black Label Media LLC, has over 20 years of experience in recording as an independent music producer and artist. He has experience from Def Jam Records. He was an intern there. He was a street promotion team member there. He was also part of the promotional tour support for Def Jam recording artist Foxy Brown. The reason that I know him is through the Black Podcasters Association, and that is powered by Afros and Audio. Imagine that name, Afros and Audio. It's an online community dedicated to Black podcast creatives and professionals. We'll talk about his mission and what it has to offer and the future of it. But let's talk about you a little bit. So what was the first podcast you ever heard? Do you remember?
No. I actually learned about podcasting in the early 2000s. When I was younger, you know, I was trying to break into the music industry, and I was creating a website called don'tgetjerked.com, and it was the purpose of it was to promote and educate music, you know, people in the music industry to not get jerked by the industry itself.
Right.
And I was working with a developer, and I stumbled on what was originally what would become podcasting, which was people were making these audio files that you would get through the RSS feed, and they had like players. And he and I were talking about, I had a vision. I was like, this would be a great way for artists to connect, because part of my website was to give artists their own page where they can send out, you know, kind of like what MySpace and Facebook became, where you got your own page, you were able to promote your music, sell your music. And my whole goal was to help artists become more independent through the internet, because this was all happening around that Napster time in the early 2000s. So we were thinking about building, like, and it was called podcast. I don't know why they keep saying 2006 when it was out before that. And
well,
that was my first iteration to it.
Let's just say something first, because there are people who may not be familiar. You mentioned this thing called RSS. What is that? Can you explain that to people who may not know?
RSS feed RSS is a type of file format using XML, which is how you pass one information from one server to another. And it's a text file, so it's not bloated. It's not full of a lot of, data. So it's easy. It's real, really rapid to get the information from one place to another. So you basically just put all the information you need in that RSS file, links to the file, links to the description. You know, it's more complicated than that, but it's just a computer file that's text-based, and it's easy to transfer from one place to other, because text file formats typically, now I'm putting on my web developer hat, text files travel faster, you know, over the internet than all other types of files. So, because it's so small.
What you're saying is the audio file that somebody has made becomes a text file and is able to be transferred.
Well, you put a link to it.
Okay.
You put a link to it, and that link is a is text. So you, that's why you have your hosting services. You store it on a server, your file on a server, and they give you an RSS feed, which you then send to the distributors or players. And that player has code that pulls that that audio file into their player.
So let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of the podcasting host sites? Because people might say, I want to start a podcast. Where do I go to start? And you mentioned hosting sites. I mean, where should people go?
Well, I mean, there's different ones. There's Libsyn, there's Podbean, Buzzsprout, Dystopia. There's a whole Sounder FM. There's a ton of them, Castos. And I think that's part of the confusion when people want to start a podcast. It's like, there's so many options. It's like, which one do I choose?
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of them offer very similar services and different pricing models in regards to that. So it's kind of, it's really, for me, it's hard to tell people which one to go with. One of our community partners is Dystopia, which they have an actual platform where you can actually get paid. Your podcast can actually make money off of plays, kind of similar to like what they do with streaming music. So I think that that's what kind of attracted me towards them to learn more about what that company is doing. But the truth be told is there's so many different services. I think it really comes down to your budget, exactly what you need, what you're trying to achieve. It's more complicated than you could say here on this, you know, on a live or even in a video. You just really got to do some homework. You got to look at the different services they offer and see which one is what you're trying to achieve with your podcast, because some have limits.
Let me ask you this, Corey. So just real quick, what type of equipment would a person need to do a podcast?
As an audio professional, as somebody who's
don't get snobby now with the audio and the
I know you
got like special stuff that you probably only let certain people touch and everything. So we don't need that kind of equipment. We just need like Joe Blow. He's in his garage and he's like, I want to talk about the neighborhood and the dogs pooping on the corner. Like, what kind of equipment does he need? You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, I think that was the beauty of podcasting when I learned about it when I was younger. I just saw like the beauty of it is that a normal person can start a podcast. And we didn't have iPhones when I first started learning about podcasting and stuff, right? So it was mainly through your computer. But now you have your phone. You can go get you can start with your phone, really. You need your phone, a decent pair of headphones with a decent mic. I won't tell you to just do it without a microphone. I think you should have a microphone if you're going to do a podcast via your phone. I think some people go a little too far with their equipment, like especially when they see like a setup like I have. But I try to tell people, what you see I have is part of my business. I record people. I'm in mobile situations where I go to offices, homes. So I have to make sure I have the right equipment for all applications, where most people, you don't. So I say you can start with a phone. I think if you're going to plan on doing this on a long-term scale and you're really serious about your podcasting, your phone or you know, you should be always looking to upgrade your equipment and working towards improving your equipment, because there is a difference between a $50 mic and a $350 mic. There's a difference between a $100 interface and a $250 interface. And as you get better at podcasting and you start getting better at recording, you'll learn those differences and nuances. But I think I always tell people you can start a podcast for under $100, you know, with equipment for under $500. You don't have to get the mic and the equipment you see people using in their setups. You know, there's some really good mics for $50. My first mics that I started with were $50 each.
What was your first podcast about?
I didn't have my own. So how I got into this spot and how my trajectory started is my friend and I, we were going to start a podcast and we talked about it. We both have a background in tech. We're history buffs, politics. So we wanted to be advocates for tech in the Black community, as well as integrated with politics, because they kind of go hand in hand. And really try to dispel some of the misinformation we would see a lot in you know, the Black conscious community and the Black community in regards to tech and politics. And we were going to start it, and, you know, this was before the pandemic, so there wasn't Zoom and all these services you have now to do things remotely. So we were trying to figure out the logistics. He lives in one, you know, in another state. I live in New York. And it was like we were trying to do it, and we were trying to get investors. We had a whole idea of how we wanted to do our podcast across the country. Okay. And it didn't pan out, but I decided, like, I've always, you know, my background's in recording. I love music. And I was like, well, get my own studio. And I invested my money and brought the equipment. So that's how I kind of got started. So I was looking more towards the back end side, the support side, being an engineer or recording podcasts for people and trying to make that process of starting a podcast easier for people.
Well, guess what? I have, for people who are listening, I'm doing a giveaway. I'm actually going to do a couple giveaways, but this first giveaway is a signed copy of Amanda Seale's book, Small Doses. This is a signed copy of Amanda Seale's book, Small Doses. So if you want a copy of this, what was Foxy Brown's first album? Email me. Email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, it's a free copy of her book, Small Doses. Email me. The first person who does will win a copy. I will have some more giveaways, so keep posted. But now, so you went from this techie guy in school, now you're talking to your friend, and now you decided to start a whole association. I mean, that takes a lot of time and energy. Where did that come from? What was the catalyst for starting this organization, Black Podcasters Association?
So when my friend and I were talking about starting a podcast, you know, I was doing a lot of research. I also want to add that I had got injured on the job. I was in school. I was driving Uber to pay bills while I was in school, and I had a car accident. And because I couldn't work anymore, I was trying to figure out how to make some money. And during that free time, because I was like really badly injured, so I had a lot of free time on my hands. I was started researching and studying, going on YouTube, doing like what a lot of people do when they want to start a podcast. I was going on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I would go into Facebook groups. I would, you know, I would ask questions, but I would watch a lot of the conversations and read a lot of the conversations going on in Facebook groups. And I'm the type of person, if I'm going to do something, I want to go big or go home, right? Like, but what started the process was during my time in some of the Facebook groups, I was noticing disconnects in opinions in regards to what podcasting is. I was seeing a lot of misinformation being spread just from my research, just from what I know of recording and just from the research I was learning in podcasting and watching the people who really were successful at it versus those who were just trying to pitch products to people. And it really rubbed me the wrong way. I'm about education. I'm about correcting misinformation. I'm about making sure people start things properly and, you know, see it through. So in providing information to the big guy as well as the little guy. Mm-hmm. So as a Black man, I was just noticing some of the conversations and some of the attitudes towards Black podcasters that were trying to get started weren't rubbing me the right way. Maybe
what were you hearing? What
it was just a matter. It's hard to tell you specifically, but it was more like just go and buy, you know, SM7B. And people are like, well, I can't afford that. And it's like, well, you know, it's like some people taking hardline positions. I also understand there, you know, podcasting as an industry is predominantly white male, you know, and it's been like that for a very long time with certain income earners, certain education levels. And when you have that, where you have a very minor, you know, group of people or marginalized people within an industry that's predominant, doesn't matter what group it is. If there's a majority, it's kind of going to be an attitude, a way of doing things, and nobody's open to branching away. And I was like, well, not to put all Black people in the same bucket, but it was like, you know, Black people tend to have different type access to resources. We don't have a family member who could give us $5,000 to go invest in a home studio. I don't have a mom or dad that they can borrow from their retirement or has some money sitting around.
People may not have even grown up with a computer in their home.
Well, that's a big one.
Of the internet, the computer, working, you know, imagining that I could speak with someone in Colombia and I'm here, imagining that maybe I could have a co-host like you were trying to do with someone in another state, but they don't have a computer either. Do I go to the library?
Right.
You know, can I go to the library and host my podcast? I can't talk in the library. You know, so I don't think there are statistics that show, you know, African-American people, Latino people are poor people in the generalized, not that there's not poor white people, you know what I mean? But there are people who didn't have that access, and even in school, maybe not had access to the level of computer technology, and maybe a little nervous You know, like, yeah. What is this, you know? Yeah. And then there's the second part, I think, of what is the podcast about? You know, who is going to speak to my concerns, my problems, my happiness, my silliness? Who's going to talk about what interests me? Those right. people aren't. I need to create something for myself. So I think it's important to have your organization. But my question is, why should we join your organization?
You know, that's a very important question. And it's something that I think about daily. When I do things, when I think about a workshop, or I try to talk to someone to bring them into workshop, when I'm networking with other groups in the podcast industry, when I'm talking to people, I've always tried to think about how does this help with membership? How does this bring value to the members? And I think the biggest draw that I've gotten from the members of the group, whether they're active in the group or they're, you know, they're there for whatever reason they're there, is that, and the reason why you need to join is because we're a community. And a lot of people throw that word out there, but we're actually a community. We have people who have supported each other. I've seen friendships grow in our community from complete strangers. You know, we had our recent social summer social event where we had members come from out of state that came to New York to attend so that they can meet other members.
That was in person. That was not virtual. So,
right.
So that's a cool aspect. You know, you're having this thing that's supporting a virtual business, but you still meet face to face, which is important for, you know, like you said, community. What other things do you offer? I know since I've been there, I've seen a lot of different things. Talk to us, know about, there's the awards you have. You connect people with awards. You also have, you connect people with just so many resources. You go ahead, tell us a couple.
So I think for me, the main thing is the community, right? You're in a community with like-minded people who are all trying to do the same thing, which is achieve whatever their personal goals are with their podcast. The other biggest component for me was there has to be an education component. There has to be a component where people are here to learn. They're getting the resources they need to achieve their goals, right? We can sit here and say, I want to do this, I want to do that. But right. If I don't address the issue of resources, I don't address the issue of education. Because we started as a Facebook group. And that was one of the things I learned in that Facebook group was that was one of the biggest draw was we were having people were sharing information with each other, not asking you to pay $2,000 for me to teach you how to grow your audience. It's, hey, you know, this is what I did and this is what worked for me. So education is a big part. And when we decided to go to a private community, the first thing I was trying to do was we have to do workshops. We have to do education. We have to provide members with access to. And it's something that I learned in the music business from like ASCAP and BMI, where if you're a member of the organization, they do songwriting, they do legal workshops, they do everything to make sure you as an artist are supported in the business, you know, as in the business of being an artist.
And I have seen that since I've joined. I mean, you've so many different classes, workshops, conferences that you put out there and post information, even discounts that have been offered for conferences, because you know, some of the conferences are a little steep, maybe for people, maybe not for others, but whatever the case is, you still have put that out there like, oh, if you put this code in, blah, 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 you're gonna get like $200 off. I mean, that's great, you know? So you're right. It's not like you're hoarding information for yourself. You are creating resources for others and ways for them to stretch, you know, which is, like you said, important. You start from one point, but you wanna stretch and go to the next level. I mean, if that's what you want to do. You know, where do you see the organization going next year, 5 years from now? Is it still going to be around? 10 years from now, is it still going to be around? What are you going to be doing then?
Oh, I mean, like, again, I said, when I do things, I like to go big. So my goal is the part of the goal, the mission statement of is not just building a community, but also playing, being an advocacy body and within this podcasting, this industry. I don't know if you're aware, but like this year we've had like a couple of events at major podcasting organizations that of course stirred up real controversy. And it's also a sign of the way that the industry is changing now that more voices are being represented in it and that certain things are just
controversy. What type of controversy?
Because I'm not privy to the inside stuff, but like what happened with the Podcast Academy when there was a person on the board who who tweeted out some things that weren't really in line with representing all the voices in podcasting. And that was a big blow up. And, you know, he's been known to say controversial things. Recently, a podcast movement, Ben Shapiro, a conservative voice, showed up unannounced and unexpected. And that caused a stir and it's caused backlash because so his supporters are feeling a certain way. His detractors are feeling a certain way. And as I sit back and watch what the conversations and the statements that are being made on both sides, it's like, you know, as a Black man, I'm like, here we go again, right? You know, we tend to know, we can tend to see the mile away what's going on here. And whether people are outright saying it or subliminally saying it, it's like, here we are, right? It's things still, this, as much as things have gotten better, there's still things that need to be worked on. And I think it's important.
Like the beauty of podcasting, like I can have my podcast and you can have yours. And we can still exist at the same time. And I can express what my concerns are. I can educate people about my concerns. You know, I can advocate like you're doing for my concerns. And that other person over there, they can do the same for theirs.
Right.
So that is the beauty of it. And maybe that is what makes people uncomfortable, if you will, because now you as a minority are able to have a voice.
Right.
And somebody can shut you up.
And it's a growing voice in the industry. It's not, you know, as podcasting is global now. It's not a United States of America thing like it was before the pandemic. The majority of podcasters and podcast listeners were here in America. I use one of my editors that I outsourced to in my business. When I first met him, he wanted to get into this space. There was nobody in his country. He's in, I think, Chile or Argentina. I always forget. But he's in South America. And at the time when we met, there was nobody really doing podcasting. Now I hit him up. He's constantly working, you know, and this has happened over the span of the past 2 years. And I'm happy that he's working, you know, because I was trying to find work for him. But long story short, it's not, podcasting is no longer a United States thing. It's global. We have emerging markets in Africa. We have emerging markets in Asia.
That brought me to it. I mean, I saw, I'm a bit of a nerd myself, and I used to teach software and stuff, and I remember I got interviewed on a podcast. That's how I got into it.
Okay.
What is this? Okay, not the radio. Okay, so I called. What? Okay, I'm gonna do this. And then like a year maybe later, I was talking with a friend, and I was like, hey, we should do this. Now they're conservative, and I was like, we should have this like conservative liberal thing, blah blah blah. Of course, they flunked out, but I went through with it. And one of the things I thought about, because I have friends in different places, I said, yo, I could connect with somebody in Africa. I can connect with somebody in Europe. I can talk to somebody in South America. And everybody can listen to it. People here in America and over there in their community, in their neighborhood, could listen to this show, you know? And so that, for me, really was the beauty of it, the globalness of it. This was way before the pandemic. This was in, I started in 2009. So this was before, like, it was, like, you know, cool.
Right.
So now everybody and their mom and every superstar has a podcast. But let me just ask you a couple things. Before I do that, let me, time is getting close. I got another giveaway. What is this? Signed copy of Taraji P. Henson's book here. If you want a signed copy of Taraji P. Henson's. Let me see. What was Cicely Tyson's last movie? Email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com and you could win this book. You got to be the first person to email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I want to ask you a couple goofy questions. So if you were a DJ, what's the first song you're going to play for the party that night?
Oh man, my music friends are gonna be upset with me. I don't know. Before I let go.
Okay.
You know, you gotta, it's got something that's gonna get everybody amped and ready to party. So it's got to be a classic.
All right. If you're going to Mars, what three things are you gonna take with you?
My Xbox, my laptop, and my books, some books. I don't know which book, but some books.
You read? So you're a
tech? Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I say it like that? I didn't mean to say it like that.
Well, I love reading. Reading, you know, there's a lot of beautiful, you know, great information in books. And, you know, as a history buff, I learned a lot, the power of reading, because it's, you know, the different books have different conflicting views, but sometimes as somewhere in between them, there's always that equalizer. There's always that one concept that they both touch on. And it's like, so I try to read things that go against the grain, read things that, you know, go against my biases, that support my biases, and try to find that middle ground and dissect it. So, but I love reading. And I think as podcasters, it's important that we incorporate reading, whether it's business books or books in your particular subject. I think you should have that as part of your tool set. You have to, if you want to make great content and you want to solve problems for people, you have to read.
Now, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Ah, man. So I'm also a movie buff, and I like that. That's always the dilemma with people who like comics. I think my superpower, I'd either want to be like Magneto with the magnetism, or Wolverine with the being able to heal myself no matter what happens to me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, definitely hurt and bumps and bruises all the time in life. So being able to heal yourself, I think is a good power. Now, you talked about comics, so now we're gonna have to go somewhere with that. You know, they just started Sandman TV show. Have you watched that?
No, so I have an issue, like you said earlier, like when do I sleep? Then that's part of the problem, because I'm playing catch up on some shows too. But I don't watch a lot of TV. I love movies. So, I tend to watch a lot of movies. And I tend to watch a lot of the same movies over and over again. My friends crack jokes on me, but I like what I like.
Yeah.
And I'm very, when it comes to TV and stuff, I'm moody. So I have to be in a mood to sit down and dedicate. So like these shows and stuff, it's hard for me to commit. I'll get to them at some point.
Yeah.
And it's usually on the day where I'm like, I'm not doing any work today, and I can sit down and binge, binge as many episodes. I don't like waiting. I'm impatient when it comes to that. So I'll watch Game of Thrones when all the episodes are done. You know, I tend to do that.
Yeah.
Or there's several seasons of a series before I get to it. So, I mean, I haven't watched it. I heard about it. I'm still trying to catch up with She-Hulk. I'm still trying to catch up with, I still haven't even started the new Game of Thrones series. So Sandman is probably going to be on my list at some point. And I still have a bunch of series my friends have been... Huh?
What's your favorite comic?
I'm a Punisher fan. I've always loved the Punisher and Wolverine. Those have been my two favorite.
Okay. And didn't they make a show about that?
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately,
he said. Yes. I'm a true Punisher fan, so I don't like the shows and the movies that they've been putting out.
Okay. Now, can I ask you this? You're doing this audio stuff here, and you're doing the computer. Are we going to see you become a filmmaker?
When I was young, I wanted to get into script writing. I've actually incorporated video components into my business, and I've been learning a lot about editing. I don't know. It might be something that, it might be a pet project that if I have some time and the money to do so, I might.
Yeah.
But a lot of my energy right now is in this podcasting space. I don't know. If you had asked me 5 years ago, would I be doing this right now? I'd have been like, no. But, I always go with the flow, because life happens, things happen. And, you know, the biggest thing is you always have to learn how to know when to pivot, learn how to adjust. And, when I was younger, I wanted to be a rapper and a producer. There was nothing else I wanted to do. And life happens. And then I discovered programming, and then I saw what I wanted to do. And then I got into this. And now I'm like, oh, well, this is cool, and I like this. So, your passions shift as your life changes as well. And I think people need to, I say this with your podcast. You got to know when to shift. You got to know when to pivot. You got to know when to adjust. And sometimes what you thought your idea was going to be might not wind up being the idea. When I started the BPA, this wasn't the idea, but it just over time and as things happen and you start realizing certain things, the passion shifts, your idea shift, and then you start to look at things on a bigger scale. Or something beyond you. So, yeah. Is movies in there? Quite possibly. Something I've always been. I love movies. So, if somebody came with an opportunity, I wouldn't turn it down. I'd definitely check it out.
Now, how can people reach you online and reach your association online?
So, first, our website is Black Podcasters Association, not the Black. So you can go to blackpodcastersassociation.com. If you're interested in learning more about our community and joining our community, which I highly urge you to, but you can definitely check out our community at that website. Pretty much, I am now live on our social medias for the Black Podcast Association. So we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we recently got on TikTok. I'm still trying to understand how to work that platform. Mm-hmm. But basically, Black Podcasters Association, there might be a change up in some of the spelling because of limitations. It's a long word. It's a long word to write. But you can definitely just do a search and you'll find the Black Podcast Association social media platform. And you can DM me You can email me at hello at blackpodcastersassociation.com. I'm pretty accessible right now. I'm open to talking to people. I try to help people as much as I can with whatever I know, or connect people to other people who may be able to solve that or help them with their problems. So I'm all about collaboration. So please reach out, follow us on our social media platforms, come to our website, and let's see, you know, let's work together.
What's the next big thing? Is there an event? Is there, I know you have a book club.
We do have a book club, and we work very hard to curate the books in there. But the next big thing is, as we're powered by Afros and Audio, so that is our community partner. And every year there's an annual Afros and Audio festival that happens in October. You can go to afrosandaudio.com for more information on that. It's the first and largest, and some people might debate me on that, but it's the largest podcast festival dedicated to Black creatives and support professionals. And I participated in it last year for the first time. Doing these kind of things, like, again, was not part of my plan. I don't like doing public speaking. I don't do that. And I did an actual panel last year, and it's opened my world up. And it's a lot of great people in this industry that are come from our community of all different walks of life with great information. It's a great event to come network and learn and how to improve and learn from the people in the industry who are being successful at it. So this year it's going to be in Philadelphia. It's going to be the weekend of October 22nd to 23rd. So please come out. Again, go to afrosandaudio.com. You can get all the information on how to get your tickets and how to get your, they have the hotel as well. And all the information, so if you want to sponsor it, also have a vending table, definitely go to afrosandaudio.com to learn more about it. If you're not a BPA member and you would like to get a discount at Afros and Audio, that's a perk of being a member. Join us and you can immediately use that discount to Afros and Audio. But it's definitely a great festival. And if you're interested in being a Black podcaster in this industry, I say you have to be there. You have to be there. If there's one convention a year that you should go to, you need to come to Afros and Audio. There's some really other great conventions as well.
Be there or be square, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's no other place where you're going to find people that look like you, come from your same walk of life, and that are going to be able to put the information and tell you the information how you need to understand it. You know, I mean, we have, as African-Americans, as Black people in this country, whether you're immigrated here or you were born here, we have our own colloquialisms. We have our own way of talking. We have our own understandings culturally, and that's why representation is important, and that's why it matters. And you need to be a place where you're at home, where you're comfortable, where you're not nervous, where you're not code switching, where you're, you know, it's a place where you can come and meet people like you and you can be yourself.
Let me ask you this, and this is going to be my last question. Do all Black podcasters have to be activists?
No. So one of the big things, and we work really hard, not just myself, the community itself and the people and the team, is I think it's something I learned in a Facebook group when I started, is Black people are not a monolith. We have Black people of all walks of life, all different experiences, income, disparity. You know, we have that. And I think part of the problem with podcasting, and, you know, it's always a thing, you know, the whole Black card thing, losing your Black card and all that. It's a cool joke and everything. But in this space, it's important for us to realize and be comfortable with ourselves and the messages we want to get across. We are not monolithic, and we as a community need to start understanding. And only until we start understanding that part can we grow as a people, in my opinion, grow as a people. Yeah. And understand that the different arguments and then we can come collectively. If we all understand, have a strong understanding of each other, then we can make our voices more known collectively for those things that we really need to address that affect us. So do you need to be an activist? If that's what you want to do. So like in our group, you know, I do my best to keep it about podcasting. Your religious, political views, all of that, your sexual orientation, all that stuff is cool. And we support everybody in that space. But the real thing is that we keep it about podcasting. What you do on your show, I'm not going to regulate. I'm not going to talk to you. Even if I disagree, I might come to you personally and say, hey, blah, 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 blah. But as an organization and as a community, your show is your show. And, you know, I'm also about accountability. You're going to be held accountable to that. As long as you're not calling for the hurting of people and stuff like that, and you're here to do your, you know, to do your podcast, and you're, I don't censor in that capacity. I don't censor in that way. So, you know, I think we do need to have multiple voices.
We're not a monolith.
Right.
That's for me, I believe that. And I think once we understand that for ourselves as well, like, don't say you're not black enough because you're not doing this. I think people have to respect for whatever they're doing in podcasts. I agree, as long as they're not hurting somebody or hurting themselves, you know what I mean? And then focus on the basics, whatever the basics are. And me personally, is like education, is like housing, you know, it's like getting, you know, being able to take care of your families, if you have a family or your kids, in climate issues, whatever, like basic things that affect everybody, no matter who the hell you are. I think we can become stronger as a people. Well, Corey, thank you so much for coming on today. Again, I want to let people know you can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, as we see, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And you can email me. And for today's prizes, you want to email me again at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. And check us out on Spotify and Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Audible, Google, all over the place. Check out Joy Keys and put in the guest, the topic, and hopefully you'll find the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Corey, for coming on. I'm going to be posting this audio. You'll see it tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to it on those different platforms. Thank you,
Joy. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Waving. Thank you so much. We weren't waving at you, but we recognize you. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.